أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Surah 47, Muhammad, peace be upon him. Title: The title Muhammad, peace be upon him, is derived from verse 2 of Surah 47, which contains the blessed name of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. This surah is also known as Surah Al-Qital, for verse 20 refers to fighting in the way of Allah, Al-Qital. Period of Revelation. The internal evidence of the surah indicates that it was revealed in Medina after the Hijrah, at the time when the command for fighting had been decreed, although the actual war had not yet broken out. Note 8 on this surah carries arguments in support of this contention. Circumstantial setting. At the time of the revelation of this surah, Muslims had been under intense persecution in Arabia, and particularly so in Mecca. Life became very difficult for them. Accordingly, Muslims from everywhere converged in Medina, which afforded them shelter. However, the unbelieving Quraysh were bent upon troubling them even there. The small town of Medina was surrounded by the unbelievers, who were intent upon its elimination. The Muslims had only two options. 1. Surrender to Jahiliyyah and abandon their call to truth, even so far as to give up their adherence to the true faith. Or 2. To rise, putting their lives at stake in order to decide once and for all who would survive in Arabia, they or Jahiliyyah. At this juncture, Allah guided them to the decisive path, which is the only path befitting the believers. Allah first allowed them to wage war, verse 39 of Al-Hajj, and decreed His command for the same, verse 190 of Al-Baqarah. The Muslims knew well what war would entail in those conditions, for there was then only a small group of believers in Medina who could not enlist even 1,000 soldiers, yet they were asked to take on the Jahiliyyah of the whole of Arabia. Hundreds of resourceless muhajirs had by then settled in Medina, and they could raise resources for waging war only with great difficulty. They had been enervated by the blanket economic boycott imposed on them by the Arab unbelievers. Subject matter and themes. In the above circumstances, this surah was sent down. Its subject matters are to exhort the believers to wage war and provide preliminary instructions. That is why this surah came to be known as Surah Al-Qital. The following themes comprise this surah. At the outset, the surah says that an encounter between the two rival groups is imminent. One group has refused to accept truth and has been obstructing the way of Allah. The other group subscribes to the truth, revealed by Allah to His servant, Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. Allah has laid to waste the efforts of the former group and improved the latter's lot. Then, the Muslims are given preliminary instructions. They are assured of divine help and guidance. They are promised the best reward for their sacrifices in the way of Allah. They are further assured that their striving in the cause of truth will not go to waste. Rather, they will reap its rich dividends in both this world and the next. The unbelievers are declared to be devoid of divine support and guidance. Their stratagem against the believers will not work, and they will suffer dire consequences both in this world and in the hereafter. The unbelievers regard their expulsion of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, as their big success. However, this is a self-destructive action on their part. They have thus courted their own ruin. The Quranic address is then directed at the hypocrites who claim to profess faith prior to the divine command that the Muslims wage war. After receiving this declaration, they panicked and held secret parleys with the unbelievers in order to escape the perils of war. They are warned that their hypocrisy towards Allah and matters of faith will render all of their actions null and void, for all the claimants to faith will be tested for truth or falsehood. Whom do they support? Muslims or unbelievers? Do they stand for Islam or unbelief? Are they faithful only to their own interests or to the truth that they claim to profess? One who fails this test is not a believer, and hence his prayer, fasting, and zakah will not gain him any divine reward. The Muslims are urged not to feel demoralized over their small numbers, their lack of resources, the large number of unbelievers, and the enormity of their war machinery. They should not betray any weakness by proffering a truce, for this will embolden the unbelievers to attack Islam and Muslims. On the contrary, the believers should rise and confront the multitude of unbelievers while reposing faith in Allah. Allah is on their side, and hence they will be victorious. The unbelievers, though large in number, will be reduced to nothing in their fight with the believers. Finally, Muslims are asked to spend in Allah's way. Although the financial condition of Muslims was then extremely poor, the very survival of Islam and Muslims in Arabia was at stake. In view of the gravity and sensitivity of the situation, Muslims strove with heart and soul to invest all of their resources in war. This was the only way to safeguard themselves and their faith against the impending domination of unbelief and to make the divine faith supreme. Accordingly, they are told that if they act like misers in this situation, they will not harm Allah in any way. However, they will bring about their own loss and destruction. For Allah is not dependent upon human beings. If a particular group shies away from making sacrifices in the cause of divine faith, Allah will replace it with another group of believers.